Hey now, what's going on? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a great weekend. Nice to have you here. Good to start the week off. Program brought to you, as always, by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. Lots to get to, and it sets up nicely. In fact, we are evenly distributing all three interviews. One in hour number one, one in hour number two, and one in hour number three. And they look like this, coming up at 40 past. I was about to say next segment, but not that. 40 past hour number one, a CBS Sports NFL insider, good friend of the program, Jason Lockenfora. In hour number two, we'll talk college basketball. A CBS Sports senior college basketball writer, Matt Norlander. And then in hour number three, the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Torrey Lovello. Monday is an ATP day. You want to hit me up. All right, the telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Call now because we do not have an interview for about 35 minutes. 1-800-636-8686. If you'd rather jump on Twitter, mess with me that way, go right ahead. I love it. Tweet me at Jim Rome or email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, starting with the NBA. Now, it is the first Monday in March. And before the NBA season, it was pretty safe to assume that when we got to this point, there'd be one of two LA teams with the best record in the West. At the start of the season, I think most people, if they're being objective, would have said that. And the expectation was, of those two LA teams, it would be the Clippers. After all, they won nearly 50 games last season. They gave Golden State hell in the first round, and then they went out and they added Kawhi and Paul George. But they're not the ones who are sitting atop the West. Of course, it's the Lakers. The team that missed on Kawhi, the Lakers. The team that has not been to the postseason in 6 years, the Lakers. And the team that had been a complete mess last season. That team is sitting on top of the West. And while the Clippers were fighting off a legendary performance from Shake Milton and trying not to lose to a Sixers team without Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, the Lakers were playing without Anthony Davis and Alex Caruso, and they were coming off a really weird loss to Memphis. So if ever there was a time to question the Lakers, to wonder if maybe LeBron was running out of gas, then it would have been last night. But then LeBron goes out, and he drops 34 points, 13 assists, and 12 rebounds in a 122-114 win. So I said it last week, and I'm going to underline it right now. If the league is trying to make me won a Pelicans-Lakers first-round series, mission accomplished. Well done. In fact, I pretty much want that more than I want anything else out of my life right now. Because these last two games between these two teams haven't just lived up to the hype, they've smashed it completely. I mean, this is a blast. This is a lot of fun. Any game with Zion is a blast. Any game with LeBron is a blast. So any game with Zion and LeBron going at each other is incredible. Because what you get is LeBron going for a 34-point triple-double and Zion at 19 going for 35. And again, one guy is 35 and the other guy is only 19. And to me, I'm not even sure which one of those things impresses me more. Both those facts are utterly ridiculous and they were going right at each other early on.
Williams on the low block, guarded by James, goes straight at him and finishes. Zion's 3 for 3, 6 points here in the first 4.5 minutes.
That's just cool. That's just one very large human being slammed into another very large human and then getting his. And then you had LeBron going right back at Zion.
James going at Zion and LeBron wins that one.
LeBron putting on a dribbling clinic and blowing right by the rook. And then you had this utterly comical sequence in the second quarter.
James going at Zion and LeBron wins that one.
Uh-oh. What we're talking about here is Zion destroying Kyle Kuzma and then nearly destroying the rim in the process. And then LeBron responding with a three from roughly a dribble inside half court. That was a shot LeBron had been working on before the game. And, of course, he went out there and he nailed it. It was awesome. Everything about that game was incredible. The Pelicans kept coming at the end, getting close, and then the Lakers would respond. And then LeBron stuck this in Zion's eye.
LeBron's got it on the right wing, one-on-one against Zion. Three-pointer by LeBron. It's good! LeBron for three. 116-111. 32 for the King.
Only thing missing from that was, dude, no, no. Yes, yes, LeBron. Yes, yes. There have been a lot of electric performances.
Dude, yes.
I knew you had that one. Alva, you did that game, right? Or was that just a Cavalier thing? I know you've been running that side hustle, and I haven't been able to keep up with it.
Please stay LeBron.
Oh, I've got that coming up a little bit later on. Please stay LeBron. Look, there have been a lot of electric performances from LeBron this season, but that's right near the top. They're now 8-0 in the second game of a back-to-back. They're 19-2 on the road against the West. And that's before we even get into LeBron's dishing last night, which was incredible. Ask Alvin Gentry, who still seemed to be in shock even after the game ended.
I'm just amazed that they talk about anybody other than him for MVP. You know, that's what he does. Every team that he's been to, every team that he's gone, have a chance to win the championship. So, you know, to me, I mean, I'm not sure what the definition of MVP is, but he makes everybody on his team better, and it makes it difficult for everybody playing him.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, a couple of things when you hear that. A couple of things are clear. LeBron is, in fact, playing at an MVP level. Nobody can say he's not. So, number one, he is playing at an MVP level. Number two, he's not going to win the MVP. Not this year. Not because he doesn't deserve it, but because Giannis is also playing at an MVP level. In any other year, LeBron is running away with this thing. Except in this year, Giannis is averaging 30, 14, and 5 in less than 31 minutes per game on a team that's got a legitimate look at 70. No one else is getting that trophy. But that doesn't mean that LeBron does not deserve every bit of the run and credit he's getting right now, because he does. And so does Zion. Again, that's a 19-year-old who went into last night's game with 10 straight 20-point games. And then he goes for 35. No wonder LeBron was hyping him after the game. Quote, "You have to actually be out on the floor to actually feel the strength and the speed that he plays at. It's a hell of a rookie class, I'll tell you that. These kids are special," end quote. So it's no wonder that LeBron shared a moment with Zion after the game. Just don't ask LeBron what he said, because he's not telling you. And do not confuse LeBron showing respect with LeBron being soft.
You know, anybody that says that, you know, LeBron, why would he do that while he's playing? It's a show and sign of weakness. You know, he's buddy-buddy with the guys that he's going against. Tell him to kiss my ass. All right? With a smile, too.
Love it. Anybody who says that that's a sign of weakness or softness or him butting up, quote, kiss my ass with a smile too. Man, I wish you would have tagged that with that guttural roar at the very end. Do them together, Alvy. How would that sound? Kiss my ass with a smile too. Oh!
Tell me kiss my ass. All right.
Close enough, Alvy. Look, this is not about the AAUification of the league, or the guys don't want to destroy each other on the court. Because there was absolutely nothing about how Zion and LeBron played last night that wasn't about destroying each other or the other team on the floor. You can compete like hell during the game and still hug it out after the game. It's not a sign of being soft or buddying up. It's a sign of respect. Don't confuse that kindness with weakness. And if you think that LeBron's getting weak or old, go back and watch the game tape. Watch him absolutely bully everybody who came at him in the post and pick apart the defense with passes and then shove daggers in the eye of anybody on the perimeter. What LeBron was doing was showing respect to a young star, but he's letting that young star know it's not your time yet. I'm still here. LeBron is still here. And I go back to a point that I made earlier. I'm not sure at this point, when I look at LeBron at 35 and Zion at 19, I'm not sure who impresses me more, Zion or LeBron. Both were equally ridiculous to me last night. And as far as Zion, how much of a legend is this guy already at age 19, not even playing a first full season? How much? The legend of JaVale McGee himself. Must-see McGee. A two-time NBA champion who's played with some of the best to ever run in that league. LeBron, Steph, KD. He asked a kid who has played, 15 NBA games for his jersey after the game last night. 15 games? And he's asking for a gamer. It's insane. In a great way. So don't sleep on the old guard. LeBron is still LeBron. Man, but the future looks awesome with Zion and others. Am I right? Am I not right, JT? 19. People are in awe of this kid, and for very good reason. As an example, I think about my younger son, Logan, who turns 15 today. Yo, Rogues, happy birthday, kid. What up? If Logan's 15, that makes Jake 18. Jake's 18, and Zion is 19 and is abusing grown-ass men in the association. And everybody's impressed. And not just fans and media, but peers, grizzled vets that he's running with and abusing. Man, it's crazy. Crazy fun. And one more thought about the Lakers. Don't look now, but they waived Troy Daniels to make room for maybe, and I do not want to jinx anything, but maybe the addition of a certain former teammate of LeBron. Because I do not want to jinx it, and I'm not sure whether or not it's going to happen, I would just say that if they bring this guy in and they sign him, it would be so nice. And so right. And so pretty awesome. We'll see. Like I said, run it back. Give me 7 of those things. Love that matchup. Pelicans-Lakers. If you want to weigh in, talk about any of that or anything else, call me right now. The interview that begins these series of interviews is not until 9:40. So I've got an open segment coming up next. In addition to that, Tom Brady, still in the news. And this time, Julian Edelman is picking him up and doing what those two dudes do. Man, there was a time where I thought those were like the two coolest guys ever. That time is come and gone, unfortunately. I've got an update for you. Got an update on the XFL. It has not come and gone. To me, the jury is still out on the XFL, but I got to admit I'm watching. And I am reacting. Not to good football, mind you, but I am watching and I am reacting. That's coming up. One more NBA note. When you talk about the new school and the old school, Trey v. Trevor, one of my favorite moments. Giannis v. the Beard, also still a thing. Let's check the first rip, the first grip of reaction. That's always curious to me on a Monday. Sean Rohasic tweets, I don't want to talk about LeBron or Zion. I want to talk the Gauchos game from Saturday. What were you doing there?
What were you doing there?
Somehow I thought that'd be the first thing I saw today. I was repping my team. What the hell do you think I was doing there? UC Santa Barbara against UC Irvine. That was a blast. They smashed us again. You know, I'm basically, not even basically, essentially, over in that house. I've never seen my guys win in that house. And towards the end of the second half, there was the entire middle section chanting at me. Like, Jim Rome, how you like that? How you like that? And I just looked up and said, not a lot. Not very much, yo. Not very much. Rome! How you like that? I said, fellas, I'm getting used to it. It was fun, man.
Not good.
It was fun. Good energy in that house. Irvine's tough, man. I got to tip my hat. Gauchos playing without their best. No excuse. Better team won. But I like the way our guys battled until the very end. And it's always good to see my Gaucho fam. So I'll be right there again next year. Hey, we got you earlier this year. We may see you in the tourney. We'll see what happens. Conference tourney. Wells in the 360 tweets, LeBron traded all those Pelican players for AD and then beat them without AD. That's savage. War Shake Milton. Shake Milton is a great name. Dear Rome, James Harden over the weekend must have been really tired because he looked all pooped out. Signed, Pete McNeely.
You have a big dump in your pants.
You know, honestly, I don't know if he did or didn't. I know this. I don't give a damn. I also know I'm not going to try to find out whether he did or did not. Chris no longer in St. Pete. War outside sales. War toilet humor. And this says, hey, old man. Hope you had fun at the Gaucho game this weekend. While I stayed home and dry humped the coffee table. Signed, Sapphire the Cat. I'll own that. Brian and Charlotte. War Landry Jones being the Jameis Winston of the XFL and costing Big Head his three-team parlay. You know, he had a tough night Friday night, but he did nail the Clippers-Nuggets game. And if I know the Big Head, I know that he did not get hurt by the XFL. He always wins. He always banks cash on the XFL. All right, so that's how it sets up. I've got Jason Lock and Fora coming up at 40 past. Matt Norlander coming up next hour. Tori Lavello in hour number three. So, clones, well, I've got your attention. What do we want when we are craving protein or need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. We want beef, pure and simple. Where is the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky, because Old Trapper is not your old man's jerky. It's not shriveled. It's not dry. It's not tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. That way it's tender and tasty, not rough. So what makes it so good? It's got to be that company behind it. A 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality and attention to detail. And you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four great flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What's cracking? Welcome back. All right, some more reaction. Again, I've got Jason Lock and Fora coming up next segment. If you jump in right now and you've got a good take, I'll put you right up, right to the front of the line. Cutting the line might be the baggiest thing ever in real life, but it's fine here. It just means you have game and a good take. Dear Romy, LeBron is 35. Zion is 19. What's the big deal? They're practically the same age. Signed, Dennis Quaid. I'd say that was well done, Casey, but it wasn't. Rome, it was only two. It was only two. Signed, James Harden, pleading his travel and his accident. Steve PHX, again, Steve-O, I don't know that it was an accident. Nor do I want to know, nor do I even care. Now, I will talk about James Harden saying that Giannis has no skill. That he's got no skill in his game, just power. That it must be nice to be 7 feet tall and just rely exclusively on power and have no skill whatsoever. Which is pretty laughable and pretty ignorant. And there's nothing about that take that's accurate. And notice, though, I mentioned that and did not mention any number, or not the number one or the number two or the number three. I'm going to read you this email exactly the way this email is written. Jim, if Tony Romo got $17 million a year, CBS should pay you $100 million bazillion dollars, Jim, because you're the greatest, Jim.
Signed, Fake John in New York City.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. Jim, that interview that you did the other month with heavyweight champ Del Monte Wilder, that was like the best interview that I ever heard in my whole life, Jim. Jim, your interviews are the most awesome interviews in the history of radio, Jim. Jim, you're literally my bestest friend in the whole wide world, Jim. Thank you.
The real John in New York RSVP'd quickly for the Buffalo tour stop, which is April 11th. And my favorite part of the RSVP is when he said, "In something else, Jim." No, what he said was, "One more thing, Jim. One more thing. Best thing about that tour stop announcement are the ticket prices." I said, "Of course, my man. The only other thing you bought a ticket for involving me was the Hall of Fame ceremony. That's not cheap. That's not cheap. The Buffalo tour stop, though, is fairly priced. Well, according to me, in my opinion. Are you going to a tour stop? A tour stop, a tour stop. In case you missed this, we're bringing them back. Or at least we're going to bring back one. And if Buffalo goes the way I think that it will go and should go, then we'll find another one. In the meantime, it is different this time around. Back in the day, you showed up. They were free. We hung out. The world has changed. It's been 15 years since I ran that thing out. We're going to do it again. And this time, you got to get a ticket. But they're easy to get. Go to JimRomeWorldTour.com. JimRomeWorldTour.com. The event is at Shays. It's an unbelievably classic theater. April 11th, Buffalo. I don't give a damn what the weather's like. I'm thrilled to be going back to Buffalo. In fact, I chose Buffalo. That was my choice. I want to be there. I chose to go to Buffalo in April. Come on out and see us. There are VIP packages available. There are all sorts of seats that are still available. You have lots of different options. Go to JimRomeWorldTour.com. JimRomeWorldTour.com. It is easy to navigate. Get in there. Get some tickets. In fact, you don't have to be just from Buffalo. If you're from the surrounding areas, that'd be great. If you want to make a roadie, that would be great. It's something we'll always have to talk about. Love to see you there. Jason Lockenfora is coming up in about 10 minutes from right now. One more phone number I want to give you. I've got the Jim Rome podcast, one of our side hustles that drops every Wednesday. This week, Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes. And if you're not necessarily there for the long form, but only the voicemail, why don't you add to it? Write this number down. It's my personal dial. If I pick up, great. If I don't, leave me a voicemail. 949-385-0447. Area code 949-385-0447. Eddie in Santa Paula tweets, "I like the Anteater Rec Center. That place is cool." It's good, man. It's good. It's one of the best kept secrets. Drew in West LA, don't even try it. Don't even try it, Drew. It's a well kept secret. That's a really good program they have at Irvine. And they play some pretty high-level basketball there. So if you live in and around the area the way we do, it's a really nice secret. I like it. That place is cool. Except when we go there in recent years. It's all right. We'll bounce back. We're gauchos. We always do. All right, when we come back, Jason Lockenfora will join us. CBS Sports NFL Insider. We had the Combine on in primetime. Of course, you've got all the latest Tom Brady rumors. Crazy quarterback carousel that's going to start spinning as soon as we know what Brady is going to do. And more. Matt Norlander next hour. Torrey Lovello in hour number three. But before I do anything else, I do have a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Quick reminder, Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So you need to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, submit a question there. I will answer one of them later on. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. We are joined right now by an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today during the regular season and the postseason. Good friend of the program. A recipient of an enormous shout-out from Utz Snacks, co-host of Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. He is Jason Lockenfora. JLC, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well. Anytime you're flirting with the Utz girl on Twitter, you're doing all right.
Dude, that's
someone from the Mid-Atlantic region. That's right up there with Mr. Bo from Natty Bohemian Beer. That's a legendary mascot.
I was going to ask you, and I will ask you about the new project you're working, but man, to get a shout out from Utz Snacks. In fact, how good is your life right now?
Dude, not much that I do resonates with my kids, but when I showed them like how like that thing when Utz responded to me following them, that I got some cachet around my house for the first time, like probably ever.
I love it. All right, so before we get to the combine, you are going to co-host Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. It's going to be weekdays from 2 until 6 p.m. It really is huge. How did that come to be, and how hyped are you for the opportunity?
I am totally amped. I just left the office of our program director here at the station to come on with you. So yeah, we're in some planning meetings. I mean, I've grown to love this format really all of my life, and grew up listening to sports talk nationally and at home in Baltimore. Have been lucky enough to be able to absorb stuff from people like you by coming on as a guest for years, and I can't wait to get started.
Jason, I'm thrilled for you, man. You earned that. You're going to kill it. I know you will, and I'm really happy for you. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
Now, you had a great piece on CBSSports.com about what was said by teams at the Combine and what they actually mean by it, starting with Raiders GM Mike Mayock talking about Derek Carr and his future. What was Mayock really saying there as it relates to Carr and potentially Tom Brady?
I think he was sending a message to the rest of the league that, hey, if you think Derek Carr is better than your current quarterback and you're interested, hit us up, because we're kind of still dating this guy. We're not, you may have thought we put a ring on his finger, but not really. And we're looking to upgrade, and maybe it's Tom Brady or maybe it's Tua Tagovailoa. We're sorting through some stuff here, but if Derek Carr floats your boat, we might be able to work something out.
Jason Locken for him, my guest. All right, then what about Bruce Arians? He said this of Jameis Winston, quote, "You don't know what trades might happen. You don't know who is behind door number two yet. Then you can make a decision," end of quote. Can you decode that for me? What is he actually saying?
Yeah, he's saying, Phillip Rivers, are you going to cost us $60 million for two, or is it going to be more like the Nick Foles $50 million for two? Because we think Jameis is going to cost us around 30 a year. And so are we going to put that non-exclusive tag on him at 27 because you're either going to pick the Colts over us or we're not cool with your price point? But I mean, that's door number two. I believe at the end of the day that the Bucks, if they don't have two tags, obviously that'll make life more difficult, and we'll see what comes with a collective bargaining situation, but they're not letting Shaq Barrett go. So he will be tagged at all costs. If they don't have two tags, can they work something out with Jameis? I don't know that they're going to be able to upgrade from Jameis when you go through all the different permutations, but certainly they would look at Phillip Rivers as somebody they'd have big interest in. But I think the Colts might end up being the best spot for Phillip.
We're talking to Jason Lockenfora. All right, so over the weekend, there were also reports, JLC, suggesting that Washington is interested in Tua with the number two pick overall. Do you really think they're serious about that, or are they trying to get Miami to trade up from five to get him?
Well, I think when you have the second pick in the draft and there are two quarterbacks who are both looked at as having the talent to be worthy of the first overall pick in the draft, you have to do your due diligence. There's no reason why you wouldn't spend time with them, no reason why you wouldn't check out their pro days, no reason why you wouldn't allow Tua to absolutely wow you. But there's also something to be gained from doing all that to the outside world, which is, hey, Miami and anybody else who thinks you might be able to stay at five or six or seven or whatever, or you think you only have to move up to, you know, maybe three or four to jump Miami. Well, guess what? What if we take this kid? And then we could just have an auction. We could see what we could get for Tua. We could see what we could get for Haskins. What makes the most sense for us? I think they want to find out as soon as possible what's the biggest haul we could get for the second overall pick. And more likely that means them coming off of Chase Young than it does Tua. I'm not sure that they would go that route at the end of the day if they stayed at two. But I talk to a lot of other teams who, when they assess the Redskins situation, they think it's screaming out for a trade down, even as good as Chase Young may be. Unless he's Lawrence Taylor, if you pull off a reverse RG3 trade, them going down rather than moving up for a quarterback, you could be looking at 3 1s, 2 2s, and a 3. That fills a lot of holes.
Jason Lockenfora joining us in the jungle once again. Now, you also have a piece up today breaking down what each team should do in the coming weeks, and the priority you have for the Patriots is to sign Marcus Mariota. What do you like about that fit for him and for them?
I mean, sometimes a change of scenery does you a lot of good. There's such a winning culture up there. You know, Marcus isn't a big rah-rah guy. He's not going to say a ton. He's kind of a low-key, lead-by-example guy. He has a skill set. It hasn't been fully tapped into. And look, the injuries and all that, maybe he'll never come anywhere close to being what people hope. But I think Josh McDaniels could mold a little Clay there. I think mentally he's the kind of kid who could handle having to be the guy who replaced TB12, if that's the case. And then, look, if Tom Brady does come back, it's year to year, they find a package for Mariota. They find a way to develop him, and maybe 1 year working with Josh in practice would be the best thing for him. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater hit the reset button on his career in a big way and might be better for it. So whether it's, you know, Mariota, whether it's Andy Dalton, whether it's Cam Newton, I certainly think, well, I know for a fact that the Patriots are putting contingencies together, because they are nothing close to a guarantee that Tom Brady will be back in Foxborough.
Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider for CBS Sports, CBSSports.com as well. He's got a new radio program starting up. So what about TB12? We're at the beginning of March right now. Jason, what is your sense as to how things are going to play out for Brady?
I know that some people kind of writing off the Patriots. I think that's a little misguided. The Patriots are going to lay out and let this thing develop and give the time and space he needs to figure out for the first time in his life what his true market value is. And the way you ascertain that is your agent, you know, starts sending out feelers and starts having exploratory phone calls. And you start getting a feel for how strong, you know, a couple of owners may come and how they're going to pursue him. And are those situations more conducive to me winning right bleeping now than the one in New England, where they need a whole lot more on the offensive side of the ball than just a quarterback? So that is beginning. And Don Yee, his agent, was in Indianapolis for a couple days last week. And Don Yee avoids Indianapolis at all costs in February. He was there because his generational client is doing something he's never done before, diving into the deep end of free agency. I still think at the end of the day, there's 3 to 4 other teams and the Patriots who really are in this thing in terms of making contract offers and trying to win this this auction. But the Robert Kraft will have his say. Whether it's enough, I don't know that anybody knows, but he will be a part of the process at the appropriate time.
JLC joining us for a few more moments. There was also, Jason, a report over the weekend that the Chicago Bears were looking to bring in a veteran quarterback to push Mitch Trubisky. If that's the case, do you think that might be Andy Dalton? If not Dalton, then who?
Yeah, look, I've been reporting on their interest in Andy Dalton for quite some time, really since they hired Bill Lazor as their offensive coordinator. Bill Lazor and Andy Dalton did really good things together in Cincinnati. Andy Dalton is very heady and cerebral. He would be the embodiment of that system. He already speaks the language. He has a pretty good resume. And did they get it done in the playoffs? No, but you know, he was a part of some Bengals teams that reached the playoffs 5 straight times. He wasn't in all of them, but nevertheless, when he had some talent around him, he was a functional, winning NFL starting quarterback. Mitch Trubisky has not proven to be anything close to that. So I think Dalton will end up being the guy there. You know, could that be a spot for Mariota? There's other options for sure, but I got a feeling Andy Dalton ends up with the Bears.
So if he does, can we assume that ultimately he's going to win that job and be QB1 there?
Yeah, and I don't even know if it takes as long as the Mariota Tannehill thing took last year to develop. I think it would be really obvious, you know, even if it's a truncated preseason, and I think we'll still have a normal one this year, but even in a shortened preseason, I think it'd be real clear, real fast, who the better quarterback was.
Jason Lockenfora for a couple of more moments. One of the suggestions you also have is that the Titans should let Derrick Henry see what he can get on the open market. Lay that out for me. Why do you say that?
I just think with running backs, and especially running backs who are as big and physical as he is, and running backs who, while he can catch a screen pass and go rumbling down the sidelines, he's not a guy who's going to win for you in the passing game as often as a Christian McCaffrey, type back would. Boy, you're talking about you know, a guy who's going to want, and understandably so, his $14 or $15 million a year like a Le'Veon Bell got. But you start looking at that team, all the mouths they have to feed. They got to try to keep that offensive line together. You know, can they keep Conklin, their right tackle? They're in a little bit of a jackpot with Tannehill, and yeah, they've got interest in Tom Brady too. But you know, what if you move, you know, lose out, and do you really see Tom Brady in Nashville? I mean, maybe. They've got a lot going on, Jim, and I don't know that I'm going to necessarily make my offseason priority built around being able to keep that running back. As good as he is, I just don't know who goes out there and absolutely, you know, blows the market up to pay him. You know, letting him see what else is out there and then working something out, maybe even a short-term 2 or 3 year deal, might be the best course of action. But if we're talking about tags and who you can absolutely secure and who you can't, I'd be more worried about the quarterback and the right tackle.
All right, as great as this conversation is, there's no way I let you go without one question about the Cowboys. Pretty clear, Dallas is going to tag Dak Prescott. What do you expect to see happen between the Cowboys and Amari Cooper then?
Yeah, I mean, do they get to apply the second tag or not? How quickly do the players vote on this new CBA, and do they get all that ironed out, you know, before the start of the league year? No one knows. If they have a second tag, they'll absolutely put it on Amari Cooper. If they don't, there's no excuse to lose him. I mean, I don't want to hear about salary cap. I don't want to hear about, you know, wow, they got to pay Dak and blah, 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 blah. Nobody has revenue streams like the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, no, he hasn't spent big there, Jerry, in a while. And you look at his actual cost for payroll the last 5-7 years, they're not up there with the biggest spenders in the league. So, you know, you've got this gambling money about to pour in. You've got new TV contracts on the horizon. You've got his old quarterback doing real well as well. I don't want to hear Jerry Jones can't pay Amari Cooper. If he has to go out in the market, give him one penny more than anybody else will, and you'll be able to keep him. Cash over cap. You can always figure out a way to lower somebody's cap number. So there should be no excuses. They're going to lose Byron Jones, and I think that's a significant loss. But there should be no excuses not to be able to keep your quarterback and your wide receiver, especially when you're the Dallas Cowboys.
Jason, in season, you actually do a really good job of getting out to see an occasional show if you can, especially if you're in New York, as long as it doesn't interfere. I'm curious, what's the summer concert viewing tour look like? Are you seeing shows in and around the area? Can you travel to a show? What are you looking at?
You know, I saw Refused in D.C. Last week. That was awesome. I'm going to see Bikini Kill in Philadelphia in May. I think I'm going to see Cheap Trick in D.C. this spring.
Love that.
I haven't looked too deep into the summer yet, Jim. So if you have and you know, you're in your buddies at Live Nation, see anything that meets my eclectic palate, you know I'm always game for it. And I think I build up enough goodwill here at the radio station. If I had to cut out a little early to get up to New York for a show, they might let me.
Yeah, I'm asking you because I was looking for some ideas and advice myself, but I got to admit, Cheap Trick is pretty intriguing. I like that. I like the way that sounds.
Yeah, they put on a great show. I've seen them many times, and those guys are legit.
I have never seen them live. I do bump them when I work out. Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider for CBS Sports, CBSSports.com. JLC, sorry to pull you out of that meeting because you got yourself a new project. Co-host of Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Congrats on that, and congrats on the enormous shout-out from Utz Snacks, JLC.
Thank you, and we got to get you on the show, brother. We'll flip the script. I'd love to be on the other side.
You got it. Done. Done deal, JLC. You have done my show about 10,000 times. Jason Lockenfora, so happy for him. Hearing that shot, he is such a pro. JLC grinds. That is great content. He is a professional journo. All right, we go into hour number two. Let me set up hour number two for you right now. Open phones at the very top. At 20 past, Matt Norlander, CBS Sports college basketball writer, joins us. I did hit UC Irvine and UC Santa Barbara over the weekend. They got us again, but we're into March. It is time to hit college basketball hard. Torrey Lovello, Arizona Diamondbacks manager at the top of hour number three. I've got more thoughts on the Pats. Maybe you saw Julian Edelman and Tom Brady end up at a middle-of-the-road basketball game. Kind of weird. I mean, that to me is the epitome of, what were you doing there? Stop asking me what I was doing at America's Funniest Videos. Ask those two guys, what were they doing there at that game? And I love that moment. Trey v. Trev. Old school